In 2009, a team of researchers studying satellite images of the Antarctic noticed something interesting: trails of penguin poop. Eventually, they spotted what looked like a colony of emperor penguins, but there's only so much you can find out from space. Luckily, there were some volunteers not too far away. Researchers from the International Polar Foundation visit Antarctica to study climate change, not penguins. But this past December, three members of the team made a 30-mile trip to find 9,000 emperor penguins. If you have questions about their discovery, and we'd especially like to hear from those of you who know something about penguins, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now from the Princess Elizabeth Antarctica Station via Skype is expedition leader Alain Huppert. Alain, thanks very much for being with us today.
Yeah, good afternoon.
And tell us a little bit about this discovery. 30 miles, it's quite a hike in Antarctica.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's first of all, you have to imagine you in the middle of nowhere without any visibility. It was complete white out after 24 hours driving on the ice to go down to the sea. And the weather was not heavy. I mean, no wind. So as soon as I was there, after the first day of work, we decided at night to try to figure it out if this colony was around. And first of all, maybe there are no nights in Antarctica during the summer, so we can go around in the middle of the night. The visibility was very bad. You know, I was stressed looking at crevasses for 2-3 hours before arriving at the edge of the ice shelf and discovering far away some, spots of penguins. And it was first thing, and then we had to go down to the ice. You might know that in Antarctica, when you arrive at the coast, you are on a cliff at about 30, 40 meters high, so you don't have a direct access to the sea. So we had to find out a way, and finally, after a few hours, we just came to the first group of penguins on the sea ice. You know, it's ice on about 1 meter thick, and that was for me absolutely fantastic because it has been years that I'm operating there, 7 years, and every time you go to the sea, you arrive, you're alone, and after a few minutes, you have those penguins. You know, who just comes to say hello and to look at you because they are the local population. We are not.
They come to say they come to say hello to you. They're not frightened of you?
Oh yes. This is amazing, and this is a particularity of Antarctic. Animals are protected, so they are not scared of human. So when you arrive, they just come to see you, to watch you, to turn around you, and you know the penguins and especially the emperors. They are so human. They're so cute. I spent more than 5 years of my life in the polar regions, but that was the kind of moment that I wouldn't have expected to be able to just enjoy. So, and then a second group, and a third group, a fourth, fifth. You know, there's more than 10,000 animals over there, and three quarters of them are chicks. So it's in the middle of the night with this kind of yellow light, you know, clouds and the sea, which is dark. It's really like being on another planet. It's a privilege.
How tall are the penguins? And when you say they come over to say hello, do they poke you? Do they look at you in the eye?
Yes, they come and, you know, they have this movement with their head, you know. They are about 80 to 1 meter for the taller. But the chicks, they are about, you know, the 50 centimeters.
So the adults come up to the adults come up to your waist, and the chicks are knee high.
Yes, they stay behind, and after a while, if you stand around without moving too much, they come again. They come as well, you know, and And then after a while, they turn back and they go to another place, and it's like you're part of them. You know, it's really something we don't use to experience.
And must have been a wonderful experience. I know it's summer in Antarctica, but it's Antarctica. How cold is it?
Well, it's the summer, as you say, so it's about minus 15, minus 20 along the coast. But our station is situated in the mountains, and we very often are going to the plateau, and then it's minus 30 degrees Celsius, I must precise. And but you know, temperature is something, but the wind is another thing. And if you take in account the wind, it's often we operate between minus 30 to minus 50, 60 degrees Celsius. So it's quite tough.
And I have to ask you, what do 10,000 penguins smell like?
What do you mean?
Is there an odor?
Ah, I mean an odor.
How do they smell?
Oh, no. Well, I mean it's too cold really to smell it, you know.
Ah.
But which is, I think, an advantage. But
Probably you're
yeah,
right.
well, scientists does. I spoke to some scientists, and they told me, you know, if it was a bit warmer, it's really smelly. Yeah.
Now, you are not a penguin specialist. What was the most interesting thing you learned about penguins?
Well, for scientists, as you mentioned in the beginning, you know, it's interesting to see that satellite can be efficient to monitor the population of like here emperor's penguins. It's important for the biodiversity. For me, what was interesting is that we are speaking now about extinction of penguins because of global warming, and the those colony are situated, you know, in what we call a rift. It's a long protected place which is completely safe for them to be able to molt, because you might know that every year they have to molt, and they need a strong ice to be able to do so. And in Antarctic now there are less and less ice during the summer, and those animals, they have problems to survive. So it was interesting to see how they can adapt. That's the first conclusion that I made. The second thing is that there are less a few dead you know, chicks, which means that it's a healthy colony. So I think we're gonna go back next year to make you know, a more detailed survey and counting of this to report to the scientists.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. We have Audrey with us, and Audrey's with us from Minneapolis. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I actually had the opportunity to work in Antarctica about 5 years ago and got to see some Adelies close up, and was shocked at their, you know, lack of fear. But the day I was leaving, the C-17 that we used to fly in on came in, and there was an Adelie penguin on the runway, and all these dignitaries were out there trying to get this penguin off there, and of course it had no idea what was going on. They had to flag off this gigantic, you know, airliner, and you know, probably cost another $5,000 to make a trip around. But I was wondering, where are you in relationship to either McMurdo or Palmer stations?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are situated on the other side of the Antarctic at 4,000 kilometers from McMurdo, so in front of the Atlantic coast at the 23 degree east. So it's exactly the opposite. So I've been to McMurdo when I crossed the Antarctic 14 years ago, but we don't have daily contact, you know, with this station at McMurdo or the South Pole.
I did have
But
one other question, if I may. There's been a lot of talk about climate change and how it's affecting the penguins on that side of Antarctica, Western Antarctica, as they call it. Is there any? This is obviously a pretty good discovery, because all we've been hearing so far lately is that the penguins were in severe trouble. So I was wondering if this is something that's really showing something otherwise, that they are adapting, or this is a colony no one ever knew about.
Yeah, well, I think that they are able to adapt in certain part of the Antarctic. We are situated in the East Antarctic, and they are in a rift, very well protected on the sea ice, which doesn't melt at all during the whole summer. So they are very clever, and it's a healthy colony. So I think, and what you have to know that McMurdo, it's at 77 degrees south. We are this colony are at 70 degrees south, which is much farther north and normally more fragile, and it's not the case. So it's quite interesting. It's why I think we're gonna go back and look a bit more carefully to how they survive. And that penguins, you have to go in November, December, because after that they go all around, and the colony, the place where they breed is completely empty during the summer. So for us, it's difficult because we have to go very early in the season, and it's not that easy, of course.
Audrey,
But it's a good question.
thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
We are talking with Alain Hubert, who is the leader of the expedition that found the Emperor Penguin Colony on Antarctica's Princess Coast. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I have to ask, we keep hearing from the opposite end of the Earth, from the North Pole, about how sea ice is disappearing, how this past winter was the worst year in recorded history for the sea ice in the Northern Hemisphere. What about there in the South?
Yeah, well, but it's completely different. Antarctic is a continent which is covered by ice. 98% of the surface is covered by ice. And the size of this continent is twice the size of the United States. So it's a huge desert. On the North Pole, it's on the ocean. So the ice, it's a sea ice. And I used to go every year after my Antarctic season. I go to the North Pole, guiding people. I cross the Arctic 2 times. And this is completely different. In 15 years, I used to go there. You're right, the thickness of the ice is decreasing a lot, and this ice is always moving. People might not know that because of the movement of the earth and the wind, when you are walking on the ice on the Arctic Ocean, you never stay at the same place. And this is what happens there. It's important. You mentioned that. And why is it important? Because the ice has a white color, which is reflecting the energy coming from the sun. If there are no more ice during a few months during the summer, it means that it's the color of the ocean, which is blue dark, and it's absorbing the energy of the sun, and it changes completely the dynamic of exchange of heat between the atmosphere and the ocean and the earth. So it's why we are worried about the North Pole at the moment. And in Antarctic, it's completely different because this is a continental ice which is quite stable in the East Antarctic. So people are confused about that, yes.
Let's get another caller on. This is Steve. Steve with us from Boston.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Great. Just relating a story from years ago in the Coast Guard. I had a friend that was a helicopter pilot. I was a Coast Guard rescue pilot myself, but he was on a deployment in the Antarctica region off a Coast Guard cutter, and they were just doing a daily patrol looking for different things, and they're going along a beach line. They came across a colony of about 5,000 penguins. I'm not sure if they were emperors or not, but anyway, they were coming from left to right. And they went overhead, the penguins, at about 1,000 feet and 100 knots, and these things, all 5,000, kind of went from right to left on their heads as they passed over in unison. It's interesting. So they turned around, went the other way. Sure enough, all 5,000 left to right, every head turned as they went over. So they came one more pass. They went out to the north and came straight over the beach line perpendicular. All the penguins are looking straight ahead. They fly right over the beach line, take a picture, and they look behind, and 5,000 penguins like bowling pins all over the beach line. They just lost it as they went backwards. It was the funniest thing you ever saw.
Oh, that's an interesting story, Steve. Thanks very much.
Curious birds, curious birds.
Curious birds. Did you have any experiences like that, Anna?
Well, I mean, that was my first time, that I really meet a huge colony. But what we used to meet is those birds when we are working on the sea ice. So, and it's true, they're coming like that, and And they don't care about us, you know. They are the master of the place, you know. We are the foreigners, if I can say. And yeah, well, I mean, we are not used to, you know. We think that we are the master of the world. And here in Antarctica, you are in the middle of nowhere in an environment which is so different. We lose all our reference. So we are a bit lost, a bit scared.
And
we are not the owner of the place, yes.
Of course not. Other than the penguins, what other animals are there?
Well, you have this Adelies, who was mentioned by your auditor, who are smaller than the emperor, and you have lots of seals. And, of course, snow petrels and lots of birds. So that's quite it's quite populated place, in fact. And as I said, they always come, you know, when you arrive. Maybe they hear you walking on the ice or arriving with your skidoo. I don't know. So that's And the seals, you know, they are so lazy animals. It's amazing. They are lying down on the ice, especially on a sunny day. It's What's really interesting for us is that, you know, we are working over there. So, and sometimes we can escape or if we're working and they just come to visit and look at us. It's, we never know when they will come. And I think that that's good because
Anna,
you can't, yeah.
I'm afraid we have to wrap it up, but thank you very much for your time today. Stay warm.
Yes, thanks.
Alain Huppert joined us from Princess Elizabeth Antarctica Station via Skype. He's the founder of the International Polar Foundation. Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation Science Friday with a look at digital data and how we control information. We'll see you again on Monday. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.